Welcome to the Arsenal Tottenham Fan Podcast. Well, Rick, this is our 80th episode of the Arsenal Tottenham Fan Podcast, and I would celebrate, but I know that we're not allowed to celebrate anything.
Well, you know, I do have a note about that we could talk about later.
All right.
Imagine that. It's not all hating on Arteta, by the way, but
not all part.
A little bit. And that, yeah, what a record-breaking week in the weekend in the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
We needed 4 goals today and got them.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that they scored the goals today. What was the final result today?
I think it was 3-1 City. Yeah.
Well. So I was really hoping for a 2-2.
I think 3 goals would have equaled the record goals scored in the Premier League over the weekend. 4 would have put them past the record, and 4 they got.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, yeah, we could certainly count on City to get 3, yeah, right. Unfortunately. Yeah. So, hey, welcome in. I'm Cal Wood. I'm the Arsenal fan. This is Rick Nelson that you just heard. He is the Tottenham fan, and we are glad that you joined us today. Notice he did not sing Glory, Glory, Tottenham Hotspur, though.
Yeah.
So we usually go in chronological order. So Rick is going to talk about the draw between Tottenham and Everton. And then I'm going to talk about the glorious 3-1 win for the Gunners on Sunday.
Then we'll get into the pub team.
And then we'll get into talking about next week. Yeah, speaking of that, we definitely need to buy a beer for Virgil van Dijk, no question.
And Allison, he needs one at all.
Hey, that's right, Rick. So tell me what happened up at Everton.
I'll tell you what, Cal, be honest with you, I was disappointed, really. Dragging my butt out of bed at like 6:30 in the morning on Saturday.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, and I did as well, although I am East, so it was 7:30 for me.
Yeah, so you got to lie in.
Yeah.
I was quite disappointed. Not the end of the world, but disappointed that we didn't control the game when we should have, when we had the chance to.
Well, it looked to me like y'all had control, then kind of lost control, then regained it.
We did what we did against Brentford. We kind of reverted back into our shell. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a few things that stood out to me was, you know, Richarlison's form continues. Van de Ven, fantastic.
Wow.
And corner kicks, sort it out. Sort it out, boys.
I don't know where Everton ranks in the corner kick scoring column. But you know, with Sean Dyche, they're going to be good at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were, and we'll get to that, definitely. And we've got to get better at defending corners. You know, the lineup with 2 changes from the game against Brentford. Højbjerg came in for Skip. Kind of surprised about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like Skip. Again, I know I mentioned on Højbjerg last week, I want to rip on him. I know he's divisive. I think he's done a good job for Tottenham. I think the only reason he's there is because we're just short. You know, he played a 6 this week. It's tough for him. It's just, mm-hmm. just a tough spot. And Johnson came back in place of Kulusevski. I think he's still a little bit sick. You know, we scored after 3 minutes, right? Richarlison, great goal.
I was going to mention that. Not only is Richarlison scoring goals, but he's like scoring great goals. I mean,
Yeah, good goals.
I mean, it's so disappointing to see him, like, play well. But he's playing – I mean, if he was bundling them over and scoring them with his knee, that's, like, what I would have expected.
Yeah. Only,
that was, like, a volley that was, you know, Robert Van Persie-esque.
It's, you know? Isn't this football, though, that only a few months ago Twitter was awash, that toilet wall of literature was awash with sell him to the Saudis and take the money.
If I had been a Tottenham fan, I would have been right there in the front of that parade.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, he's definitely come through. I mean, since his injury, you know, when he came back from his injury, weren't so great, but he's really turned it on now.
Well,
his form is phenomenal right now.
Once Son left, he's led your team. I mean, he is responsible for you guys being in the top four or top five.
He was in a tough spot to begin with, Cal. I mean, look, it's somewhat akin to, like, you know, David Moyes coming in after Ferguson. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like he's come in, Harry Kane leaves, and it's like, okay, you're the man. Like, what? That's not easy to, like, adjust to, right?
Right. But he's never scored like this in his career. Like, he never scored like this at Everton.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think he scored like this when he was 11 running around Brazil.
You can see on Saturday at the final whistle, he was gutted. He was like,
yeah,
I scored two goals here that we should have won this game, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said, it's not been easy for him coming in, taking over Harry Kane's mantle.
Sure.
Which he hasn't, but because you can't. But and not just his goals. I mean, not only are they good goals, and I've mentioned this last week, his hold-up play, his all-round tenacity of, like, even on Saturday, he's just chasing after that ball.
Well, I mean,
he's just running at it, like 20-yard sprints at the goalie, 30-yard sprints at the goalie, you know. And yeah, he had a couple of times on the wobble.
Yeah, he made a tackle at midfield where the Everton guy was just holding the ball kind of in the center circle looking for a pass, and he just came out of nowhere and took the ball off the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that the first goal was a good goal. 3 minutes in, I thought, yeah, okay, good. We can get a stranglehold on this game now.
Mm-hmm.
Udogi, nice cross from Udogi, good run. He still fell over a few times during this game, Udogi, which is still driving me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to get hold of him on that.
Yeah. Was that a left-footed volley?
From Richarlison?
Yeah.
Well, the first goal was actually, yeah, it was like, the ball looked like it was almost behind him in many ways.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
You know, because his left leg was kind of outstretched. Udogi cuts it back. And, I mean, from a technical standpoint, that's a really good goal.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You know. His second goal weren't too shabby either, really.
No, as a... Yeah, I mean, nice right where it had to be.
You know, Madison didn't have a bad game, but he's nowhere near where he needs to be since he's come back, which is kind of to be expected, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we always think, oh, yeah, so-and-so's back in the team. That's great. You know, unfortunately, they're not all Kevin De Bruyne's, right?
Right. Right.
And it's going to take two or three games, which is evident with Bentancur. That that man is nowhere near 100%.
Yeah, he's not the player he was.
No.
Last
I'm
year.
I'm hoping that's not the injury, because when you get an injury that keeps you out for a year, that can mess you up for good.
Oh, no question. And, you know, we talked about in our preseason episode with Jesus that knee injuries can become chronic.
Like, yeah.
And it's become chronic with Jesus, where he plays a game or two, then he has to miss a game or two.
Yeah. Yeah. And that seemed how it was with Bentancur. Like, he just, his head down when he came off. Just not right. I mean, it's just not moving around. When he came back from the first comeback after the injury, he looked good. Some really good games. And then he got injured again. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been the same since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can only hope that that's just match fitness, trying to get back into the swing of things, and not a permanent, long-term, chronic injury. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, getting back to like Richarlison, kind of got off track there a little bit. You know, it was good for him. I mean, going back to Everton, I know when he scored, he apologized to the crowd, and the crowd clapped. They liked all that. I don't know. I don't know where you stand on that. I mean, I guess there's some loyalty there. I get it. Yeah, I suppose you can do that. I'm not too fussed. You know, if you want to do an Adebayor and sprint the whole length of the pitch.
You know, yeah, it's, you know, I'm an American. So over here, you know, people, you know, spike the ball, do all kinds of wild dances,
sure.
You know, when they score. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm not
fussed either way.
Players do that. I'm not too bothered, you know. Like when they kiss the badge, it's like, come on, you know, it's your, kiss your checkbook. That's what you're doing, really.
So my high school soccer coach had us practice our goal celebrations.
Come on.
I kid you not. I kid you not. So he had a celebration that he wanted everybody to do. So we practiced it while we would run. He said up and goal, and then you would jump up and act like you were celebrating. So we would, as we were running, he would holler up and goal, and then you would act like you had scored a goal.
See, you won't get this anywhere else, folks. Insight like this.
That is a fact. That is a fact.
But you know, the Everton equaliser with Harrison, and again, it raises a point, a concern, I guess. Vicario, and I've said this before on this show so many times, Vicario is great. A really good goalkeeper that we got for a bargain. And but if they're not practicing corners this week, there's something's not right. Because he definitely struggles with corners. You know, we've seen it now with a couple of games, and then Saturday was like, I was watching it and I'm like, okay, that's it. Enough of that. You have got to sort this out.
Right. Well, what he's doing is, so Everton and other teams are putting a man on him. So he wants to come out and claim or get a punch, and he leaves his feet. And as soon as you leave your feet, it's easy for the other guy just to push you into goal.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what's happening to him. Now, last year, maybe 2 years ago, that was a foul. You know, they're not calling it now.
Well, so, it's part of that. I don't know. I mean, if you look at Vicario, he's a bag of bones, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you see that happen to somebody like Alisson, who's built like the Hulk, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
The referees call it.
Right.
So is there a perception of like, well, he's a big fella. If he's going over, something must have happened.
I suppose.
If Vicario goes over, I'm not just talking about Vicario. If any goalkeeper of his kind of build,
mm-hmm.
goes over, does the referee think, you know, it's human to think like that, right? Like, yeah, you probably could go over quicker than a bigger player would. Yeah, I don't know.
I just think referees don't want to blow their whistle. And so, you know, they're doing everything they can not to blow their whistle. And Vicario's making it easy for them, you know, because he's not being physical with the guy in front of him. I mean, what he's got to do is just grab the guy around the neck and throw him down.
Well,
because the officials aren't going to call that either.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Either he's got to do that, or someone's got to get in there and throw their weight around and get in between him
the
opposing player and start throwing themselves around for him. Because Harrison, like Ruben Diaz in the FA Cup game, had no intention of playing the ball.
None
whatsoever. His sole purpose was, I'm going to jack you up. That's all I'm here for.
Yeah.
And that's really on us. It's either on Vicario to go, get out of here, or Porro, Romero, someone to get in between and just say, I know what you're doing, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah. We scored against Leicester last year using Ben White to do the exact same thing.
Right.
And they called it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not calling it now.
No.
You know, so, you know, if they're not going to call that, then grab him around the neck and throw him down, and they're not going to call that either.
Yeah, and I think, look, Vicario, I know Vicario was moaning, walking up, like, as if, like, pretending as if, like, that's a free kick, right? That's a free kick.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to just get on with the game. You're going to have to own this and get better at it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that pretty much... You know, you walk off, and I'm sure Postecoglou wrote down in his notes, work on corners this week. Because they had 9 corners. I think it was 9 corners. Every one of them troubled us. Every single corner, we didn't know what day of the week it was.
Yeah, and you can count. I don't know who you're playing this weekend, but whoever you're playing, they're going to have somebody right in front
of
Vicario on corners.
Absolutely.
You can count on that.
Everyone until they can see that we figured it out.
That's right.
Right. So the next few teams might do it until they can see that we figured it out. When we play Brighton, if we're having the same issues, everyone will be licking their chops.
That's a fact.
I mean, it's it's just a fact. The other thing that stood out for me was Van de Ven.
The guy can fly, can he?
I mean, just unbelievable. Now, there's a player that has come back from injury who looks freaking great.
Yeah, it's a different injury. And he can absolutely fly.
I mean, there were a number of occasions where the Everton players had 4 or 5 yards on him.
Mm-hmm.
And literally within seconds, he's on them, slide tackling and booting that ball out.
Yeah, I forget. Somebody had the run on him, and they made a bad touch going forward. I forget who it was. They kicked the ball out probably 10, 15 yards in front of him. And that just gave him time to beat him to the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. He really is. And I don't know that he gets a lot of media coverage, but I think that's like maybe because he's a defender.
Mm-hmm.
And not just him. I mean, in general, you know what I mean? I mean, I've said that to my son. My son plays in defense. And after games, I've joked with him, you know, when people are saying like, oh, what a great goal that was. I said, it's all right, son. They don't interview defenders. It's all right. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Right, so I think that's maybe a bit of that, not just for Van de Ven, but for defenders in general, right?
Unless you do what Van Dijk did, and they are all too happy to get you out there to talk,
then they're happy to shove that mic right in your face.
That's a fact,
right? And so, yeah, then they're willing. I think you know, towards the end of the game, though, Everton, you could see a goal was coming, you could feel it, yeah, and you knew it wasn't going to be us. I mean, fair play to Everton. I mean, I have no sympathy for them on the points issue. I could care less either way. That's their deal. But some of the games they've played, they've been really good. And this game too. I mean, they pretty much rocked the midfield for us. That's a concern for us. The crowd, I mean, this is Goodison Park at its best, really. That crowd just started getting the crowd were right on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you could just sense that goal was coming. And we're lucky it didn't come before that. I think Chermiti, he was wide open in the box when a cross came in.
Mm-hmm.
Because crosses, free kicks, and corners, we just sort of scrambling everywhere.
Right.
And I think we have the worst defensive record, if I'm right, for the last, I don't know, I think it's the last three games in the Premier League, I think, stat-wise.
Oh, I didn't.
I read that somewhere over the weekend. I didn't dive into the stats. That gives me a headache. It wasn't good reading. Considering our defense. Fair play to Everton. They deserved the draw. They were unlucky not to win it in the death, to be quite honest. For me, it was the concerns were Bentancur going off, you know, not fit. And Everton regained possession 18 times in the final third. That along with the corners and the set pieces.
Everton did?
Really big, yeah. That should be a really big issue for Postecoglou this week.
Wow.
Why are we losing that ball that many times? You know what I mean? In the final third.
That's unlike y'all, but it's also unlike Everton to be that aggressive with the press.
Sure. You know, and it is interesting. I mean, Postecoglou looked really, really, I don't know, what's the word? Crestfallen after that game. And I don't know if that was telling. Is that like, you know, the way we got caught out so easily? Do you know what I mean? Like the whole game in general, because it's how I felt after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I took away like what I just said, like, you know, like losing possession that many times and just the inability to handle incoming free kicks and crosses and the corners.
Right.
You know, those are big issues. And no disrespect to Everton, but if it's another team, well, you're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no question.
So that was a really big concern. I know the players coming back, like Maddison, Bentancur, not up to speed. But it's not an excuse, but I get it. They're not up to speed. But if they're not up to speed, how long is it going to take? That becomes an issue.
Mm-hmm.
How long before Maddison feels like he's back in the swing of things, match fit and loose and so on? It is hard. I get it when you've been off.
Well,
you can't be off for 3 months, Cal, and then just come back and be like, hey, again, we're not all Kevin De Bruyne's with a team of Kevin De Bruyne-esque players wrapped around us.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, it's not so much. I mean, you know, I know you want him to get to form, but the question now is a 75% Maddison better than what you've got?
Mm. It is if we have our midfield and Son back, right? I mean,
no, I'm just saying.
People say we don't have the full squad that he wants, right?
Right. That's my point, you know.
That midfield on Saturday would have looked different when Bentancur's fully fit and Bissouma's beside him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Postecoglou, just like Arteta, has to put 11 players out there.
Yeah, you got to do you what know, you got to do.
You got to put your best 11, and if guys aren't in good form, but they are better than what's behind them, still not in good form, then they play.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I mean, we're still fifth. What's that, 44 points? We're still in the mix, if you want to look at it like that way, you know. I mean, we're still there. We're still riding high.
Oh, you know? We talked. This is a freaking dogfight.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's tooth and nail. Right now, I think you've got a top five.
Yeah.
So you need to be pulling for Arsenal and Man City in the Champions League as hard as you can.
Yeah, go deep.
Because Newcastle and Man United did y'all no favors.
No, not at all. No.
So So you need to be pulling for West Ham in the Europa League because, you know, you need as many European points as you can get so that you can get that fifth spot for next year.
Yeah, I feel confident we'll finish above West Ham and Villa. But no, you're right. I mean, Arsenal have a nice deep run in the Champions League and then get knocked out in the semis, which is – that would work. That would work for me. That'd be great. Now, that would be a reason to celebrate, Cal, right there. I'll tell you that.
Not hardly. I'll tell you, I would be fired up with a semifinal. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I mean, I would not be fired up to get knocked out, but in our return to the Champions League, if we can make a semifinal, I'd be pretty stoked.
Yeah.
As well.
So Everton game, you know, look, not the end of the world. We could have done better. We will. Basuma's coming back now. Marley got knocked out. Sar's back. He played a little bit on Saturday.
I was going to say, I saw Sar back on the pitch.
Yeah. Again, he didn't look his greatest, but that, again, another one has got to come back and get back into the team and start playing with the team again. And then Sonny, you know, Sonny will come back and hopefully by the end of this month, well, it won't be the end of this month, March, holy cow.
Yeah.
March, man, before we could have like a 14. What the hell?
Yeah. Go Korea. Go South Korea.
Good Lord. Yeah. Jordan. I want Sonny to go through, man, and do his thing. That'd be fine. Yeah. We'll survive.
As long as you got Richarlison doing what he's doing, who needs Son?
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, over to you guys. I heard a pub team turned up at Emirates
on Sunday. Yeah, I heard the same thing, too. I don't know about them being a pub team. I think it was more like
quoting Roy Keane again. I mean, yeah, he said this stuff just to get headlines. I mean, that's
of course. So I do have a comment for Roy Keane.
Oh, go ahead. And I like it.
That comment is this. So in the last, let me look this up to make sure I'm being wholly accurate. In the last 34 Premier League matches, how many losses does Liverpool have?
Go on. I don't know.
Two. Both in North London.
Yeah, pretty good pub team, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, so I don't know what Roy Keane is looking at on a pub team, but that ain't no pub team. You know, they came into this game flying. In all fairness, they did not have Mo Salah. And, you know, he's kind of, you know, what did Daryl Strawberry say? I'm the straw that stirs the drink, you know. And Mo Salah is the straw that stirs the drink for them.
Szoboszlai didn't play from either, and he's been on form too, right?
Yeah, he's been really good. But, you know, I tend to think
it does the business, basically. Yeah,
right. I tend to think Gravenbach is pretty good too. So he plays in that same position. I don't think they lose a ton with him. I know the other guy is, you know, a little more offensive minded, but you know, I don't think that's huge there. It is huge when they don't have Salah. And you know, might as well get into it right now. I'll get into the Arsenal stuff in a minute. But who should be the happiest at what they saw on Sunday are Tottenham fans. All right, Tottenham fans, hang with me just a little longer before you click out of here. So the reason that Tottenham fans should be excited about what they saw is that team, that Liverpool team on Sunday, is going to be the Liverpool team that plays next year without Jurgen Klopp.
Sure.
So while they are top four,
we can all be happy about that in some way.
Well, absolutely. You know, because Salah will not be there next year. He's going to be off in Saudi Arabia.
No, that Liverpool are in danger of becoming like Man United did after Fergie left, kind of a thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that you know, they have got a lot of good pieces, but for some reason, I think with that, Klopp is so good as a manager, and I don't, you know, once he leaves, that is going to be a team with a lot of good pieces, but they won't have an identity, and I just don't see them near the level that they've achieved without those two. And, you know, and Van Dijk ain't no spring chicken.
No.
So, you know, so those are really the three pillars of that club. So that's going to be interesting to see. And that's why I think Spurs fans should be fired up with the display that they saw on Sunday.
Be even happier if next year Stevie G takes over.
Well, I don't think FSG is that dumb. No. Unfortunately, no.
He'll get the job, but a ways down the road yet.
I don't see him making that mistake. No. So for the lineups, so we talked about Klopp. So let me hit this real quick. Under Klopp, Liverpool have scored more goals against Arsenal than any other team. You know, I have been all too familiar with Klopp's teams waxing our ass and making it look easy. And the Arsenal-Liverpool match since Klopp came in has scored more goals than any other Premier League fixture. So there's been goals, but they've almost all been Liverpool goals. So to see the kind of defensive effort we put forth was really exciting for me. As far as lineups go, Jesus, you know, we talked about chronic knee injuries and his knee flared up on him again. So we put Havertz up front. We played Havertz in the FA Cup game. Thought he did well up there. I don't know that we wouldn't have, even if Jesus had not been injured. But with Jesus injured, he started up front. And that meant we had to have another midfielder, and we brought Jorginho in to midfield. As I mentioned, Liverpool, there was no Salah, but Trent Alexander-Arnold was in for the first time in about a month. And they put Jota at center forward. And that is a guy who has killed us. I mean, he's put the Robert Firmino on us many times. So I was extremely concerned to see that. But, you know, where Liverpool is dangerous is in transitions, and Jota ain't beating nobody for speed.
That's for sure.
You know, so while on the one hand, you know, I've got, you know, painful memories from seeing him score against us, on the other, I know he's not going to be more physical than Saliba or Gabriel, and he ain't going to beat him for pace either. So that made me think, well, you know, at least in the center of the pitch, they may be a little weak. So that was good. You know, it didn't take us long to score the first goal, or at least to show how we were going to score the first goal. You know, Raya made that throw to Martinelli, who 60-yard run and beat Kanate all the way down, and he crossed to Saka, and Saka just missed the header. And you got to give Gomez some credit, because Gomez kind of put him off, gave him a little shoulder, not much of one, just a little nudge, and that put him off. And, you know, again, the Premier League is not calling that kind of stuff. In basketball, what offensive players have started doing is creating the contact. Like, in a situation like that, and we'll come to this, that if you let the defender initiate the contact, he's going to knock you off balance. But if you initiate the contact, it's a lot easier to keep your balance, which means you can get your head on the ball. So that's something that Sokka needs to be aware of and needs to do going forward, is in that situation, you know, don't wait for the defender. You know, shoulder charge the defender, knock him off balance. And then, because the referees aren't calling anything.
Yeah. It wasn't much of a nudge though, really.
But when you're going for a head, it doesn't take much.
No, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take much. Yeah. And, you know, 3 minutes later, we scored. And, you know, Odegaard with an absolute stellar one-time through ball. And something that makes Odegaard so good is this ball comes to him bouncing and at pace. And he's able to take both the bounce and the pace off of it with the first-time touch. Mm-hmm. You know, kicked it out in front of Havertz. And Havertz with a really good run. Now, I've listened to some Arsenal podcasts where he has gotten criticized for not putting that away. But I'm not going to criticize him for it. And the reason is this, is because, first of all, Alisson is really, really good. And Alisson has enough time to cut his ankle. What you cannot do as a striker in that situation is miss the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, it is better to make the keeper save it. So, you know, so how many strikers do you see in the Premier League come down one-on-one like that? They try to put it in the corner. They try to do the perfect shot and they just kick it in the stands and the keeper never touches it.
Yeah. I think you're being kind to Kai Havertz in a way. I think Kai Havertz after that game would have felt that he should have put that away.
Well, of course he would have.
You know what I mean?
Of course he would have.
Yeah.
But the first thing you have to do is put it on frame. You have to put that on frame.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, and when you are going against a great keeper and that keeper has the angle and you put it on frame, it ain't going to be too far from him.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not. And he is going to be able to get there in most situations, but that's what you have to do, because what he won't be able to do is push it to where he wants it to go. He's just going to be a total reaction, and he'll have no control over where the ball goes. And that's exactly what happened. And fortunately, it went right to Sokka, who just slotted it home, you know. And that's why you've got, in hockey, I think that's an assist. You know, you take a shot, goalie saves it, it goes to your player, they score, that's an assist. I think that should count as an assist. You know, you put one on frame, keeper saves it, your guy's there, counted as an assist. So in my mind, if I'm keeping stats, that's an assist for Kyle Havertz.
I'd give the assist to Alisson on that one.
No, come on, man. There's no keeper in the world that's going to know where that ball's going. He's just thankful that it didn't go in the net first time. And, you know, I think that once Arsenal took the lead that early, you know, what we've done in the past and what we did at Anfield last year is we kept going at them. This time we did not. You know, we played an extremely conservative game plan. And, you know, we wanted to make sure the first thing that we wanted to do and the reason that we won this game is that we controlled the tempo. And, you know, Liverpool likes to play heavy metal football. You know, they like it fast, up and down, chaotic, and we did not let them play that way. You know, we took their pace away from them, and we made it a very slow football game. And, you know, for the next 5 minutes, the ball basically went between the penalty boxes. I don't think the ball got into either penalty boxes. After that. And I think that was the way that Arteta wanted it. Because that was us. That was Arsenal. You don't have the ball, have to have the ball to dictate the game. And I think that we did a great job, and I think Arteta set us up in a great way to dictate the pace of the game, even when we didn't have the ball.
No, you certainly did. I mean, you dominated the first half. I mean, totally, basically.
Yeah, that's for sure. So in the 20th minute, we again had the ball in there or right at their penalty box. The ball came to Odegaard. He took right in the center of the goal. He took a touch, went for the shot, blocked. He's taken that touch before he shoots. And he's getting so many shots blocked. He's just got to fight. He's got a first-time shots. You know, last year he first-timed a lot of shots and scored a lot of goals. He's not first-time in his shots. And to me, that means he's lost a little confidence in his shot. You know. He's just got to first time it and whack it out there. In the 24th minute, Rice stole great steal, poked it away. Havers picked it up, drived on goal, and drew a yellow from Gomez. I made a note after that it looked like Arsenal was happy giving the ball to Liverpool and pressing them. You know, it seemed like we were totally fine with them having the ball and us counter-pressing to take it from them because that put us in transition and not them. And I think that's how we wanted to play. To give you an idea, and it took 27 minutes before there was a corner kick. You know, that's the ball staying in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
In the 30th minute, White was booked for time wasting on a throw in. You know, about 15 seconds, bang, he gets a card. I mean, I don't know what the hell that was about. After 42 minutes, touches in the box, Arsenal had 13 and Liverpool had 4.
Yeah.
Which will give you an idea where the match was played. We were keeping them pinned in, and then in the 48th minute, they scored a goal out of freaking nothing. I mean, what a horrible goal to give up. So in the FA Cup match at the Emirates, in the first half, Arsenal went in 1-0 behind, and Liverpool had 0 shots on goal. In this match, they didn't have a shot on goal, and it was 1-1. You know, I mean, that's just so, so frustrating. You know, I mean, a terrible defensive play by William Saliba, who is a really good defender. But, you know, it's even if Raya claims the ball or Saliba plays it, the ref's going to blow his whistle. I mean, as soon as they touch that ball, it's halftime. Just boot the shit out of it. You know? So, I'm sure you're laughing. I mean, yeah, and the bad thing was, even if it didn't go into goal, Gabriel would have probably got called for a handball.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be a turning point. Like, you know, the old psychology of nicking one back right on halftime. You know what I mean?
Well, no question. And in the first, you know, 5 minutes, it looked like it. In the 47th minute, you know, Chris Jones took the ball from, you know, he probably went on a 20-yard run into our box, and we're just backing off of him. you know, where we hadn't done that any in the first half. And he took a shot across goal that didn't miss by much. And I was extremely concerned. In the 52nd minute, we kind of started to get maybe a little more into the match. Odegaard had a really good shot, and it was deflected out into the side netting. And so in the 52nd minute, corners were 1-1. So in 52 minutes, each team had had one corner.
Yeah.
Which will give you an idea of how Arsenal wanted to play it, you know. And at that stage, we were playing 10 or 11 behind the ball.
Well, do you think Arteta has picked up on some of Pep's tactics? Because that's kind of like a bit Man City-ish. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know,
I don't know. What do you think?
I was going to say, you know what? Pep plays more offensive, and then he wrote.
Their football can be boring, though, right? And stifling. Right.
Well, what Pep would do against Liverpool is he would play his normal way, and he would just, as soon as Man City turned the ball over, he would just hack down whoever got it.
Yeah,
you know, and Arteta's not doing that. You know what Arteta is doing is saying, look, you know, let's put 11 behind the ball or 10 behind the ball. Let's take away their space to run in because Liverpool beats you by running. So let's do that. Let's pass our way out. And if we can't pass it out, let's just boot it down the field. You know, let's do not turn the ball over in your end. If you have to boot it, boot it, you know. And in the, what is it, in the 55th minute, you know, we boot one down the field to Havertz, and Kanati is out of position and basically has to tackle him to keep him from getting it. And what we did, so – you know, one of the things we did is we made Havertz a target man. And we did it by putting him on Kanate's side. And one reason that Martinelli was such a good outlet in the first half is that against us at Anfield, Klopp had played Alexander-Arnold as the inverted right back. And he pushed Kanate out wide to pick up Martinelli. And then he had Alexander-Arnold fill in behind Kanate in case that Martinelli got behind him. But what he did in this match is he pushed Alexander-Arnold up the wing. So, like, when we scored our... You know, when we scored our goal, one reason that that Havertz had the space to run into is Alexander-Arnold was up the field. You know, he wasn't tucked inside where a midfielder would be. He was down the field. So by pushing Havertz over onto Kanate, that opened up the space down the flank for Martinelli because Havertz is a target man. He's 6'4". You've got to mark him, you know, and you can't bring Van Dijk all the way over to mark him because that leaves Saka alone, and you can't leave Saka alone.
Definitely can't be doing that.
Exactly. So, you know, so that was our outball, and that's why our outball continued to work, and that's why Klopp changed it up and took Alexander-Arnold out and pushed Joe Gomez over to that side. You know, what Arteta did is he responded by taking Martinelli off and putting Trossard over there.
He was not a happy camper, Martinelli.
No, he wasn't. But he wasn't going to run in behind Joe Gomez. Right. you know, he can run in behind Alexander Arnold, especially the way that
it was the right move. That's what Trossard does, man.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, so that's why it was, that's one reason it was able to work. But that, you know, having Havertz on Konaté, Havertz wore his ass out, you know, because Havertz can beat him technically. Havertz can beat him for speed, and Havertz can beat him for height, you know. And so he got his first yellow card in the 55th minute. And right after that is when Klopp made the changes. So Klopp could see the match going to us at that moment, you know. And Van Dijk came on and said that they were starting to dominate the match. You know, they had 7 minutes of joy.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and we started turning it around, and that's when Klopp did the three-person change to try to get it back. And I, one of the interesting things that I noticed is that Klopp, I mean, Liverpool is so well coached. You know, they were pressing us when we would have the ball on our end. They would press the pass before the pass. So the pass would go to the midfielder, and their fullback would already be pressing our fullback. Yeah. Or their winger would already be, he would be on his horse because he knew where the pass was going. You know, I mean, it's wild when you're watching defensive players running to a spot 10 seconds before the pass is even made.
It's great stuff.
And then the pass goes there.
Yeah.
And they're in perfect position. But credit to Arsenal, because in that case, we just booted it. You know, we didn't try to play it, didn't try to be too fancy, didn't try to do the 28 pass move. We just booted it. And that did two things. One is it kept Liverpool out of transition. Two, it kept our shape. You know, you've got to keep your shape and dominate the spaces. And if you boot it while the ball's in the air, you can keep your shape. And that's what we did. And that was such a such a great game plan. In the 63rd minute, Havertz was fouled in the box and there was no call. You know, I've Rick gave the safe sign. I don't know, man. You know, McAllister got no ball. He got no ball. And he went sliding.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen that foul given a lot. I mean, okay, it's 1-1. It's a game that could decide the league. I can understand the ref not called. But if that's, you know, if that's Burnley against West Ham, that's probably a foul. You know, in that match, that probably gets called. But I can understand why they didn't. And frankly, if it was us, I would have been raging that whoever it was went sliding across there. You know, you go sliding, you have no reason to complain if you get a penalty called on you.
Yeah, you, before you slide, you better make sure you're right.
That's exact. And he never touched the ball, you know. And then in the 66th minute, thank you, Liverpool. Thank you, Liverpool. So I mentioned earlier about Saka and how in basketball, offensive players will create the contact in order to gain an advantage for their shot or for especially for something around the rim. And in this case, Martinelli throws the shoulder into Van Dijk as he's going for the ball, which totally throws him off. And Allison's coming out, and Van Dijk, I mean, Van Dijk should have never let it bounce. That's his mistake. You know, you let the ball bounce, the small guy has a chance. You know, the small, fast guy, once the ball bounces, it's 50-50. You know, when the ball doesn't bounce, the tall, big guy gets it every time. But after it bounced, Martinelli, the small, fast guy, had a chance. And he kind of nudges, throws the shoulder into Van Dijk, knocks Van Dijk off balance. And I don't know if you could tell, but Van Dijk off balance, Allison goes to clear it, and Van Dijk hits his kicking leg. And I mean, it was like, you know, the Keystone Cops.
Oh God, it's brutal.
You know, and you know, so both of them totally whiff it, and the ball just falls to Martinelli, who just rolls it in the back of the net. Yeah. And you know, we gave them one, they gave us one. But we already had a real goal, so that gave us a 2-1 advantage. And after that, it was all Arsenal. You know, I mean, with the lead, with there being 30 minutes of match time left, we were able to defend for our life, and we did. In fact, I made a note in the 72-minute, Arsenal defending for their life, and Bukayo Saka cleared one all from the end line and kept it from going out for a corner. You know, it was 11 men behind a wall time. You know, I made a note in the 73rd minute that Trossard came on for Martinelli, and I'm like, I'm not sure about that. And Saka got injured. He started limping around, and we brought Nelson on for him. And then in the 83rd minute, Kivior. Did you see that header he had?
Yeah.
I mean, what a great run. I mean, yeah. Out of nowhere. He had more time than he thought. He probably could have brought it down and whacked it. But a really good, really good move, you know. Came from deep, wide open. You got a hard to... It's going to be hard to beat Allison with a header from the penalty spot.
Sure.
You know, you are going to have to damn thump that thing to get it past him. And then in the 87th minute, Konate got his second yellow for blocking Havertz, who in this case beat him for pace. And Liverpool fans are complaining about it. And come on. Yeah, put both hands in his chest. That was as much a yellow card as there's ever going to be.
Yeah, I don't think you can have any complaints there.
Nah. And then in the 91st minute, Trossard sealed the deal. 3-1. What a great move he made to get past, midfielder's name, Harvey Elliott, made just a great move to get past him. Van Dijk has got to think he's going to cut it back on the right and is playing the cutback. But Trossard's two-footed. He saw that, went over to his left, took a left-footed shot, and Van Dijk poked it right between the wickets. And that was 3-1, and that was the ball game. Again, only Liverpool's second loss in 34 matches, with the other being your thoughts.
You guys deserve the win, you know. That's what I had to clear my throat to say that then. Liverpool were not at the races, really. I mean, there were a lot of poor individual performances out there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Trent Alexander, one of them. You know, and Allison, who's normally, you know, solid as a rock. I mean,
as good as there is.
And Van Dijk. I mean, you're talking about just three very experienced players there,
mm-hmm.
right? That form like a nucleus of that team, apart from Salah, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, in many ways. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think like most good teams, you know, Liverpool are a good team. They'll come back from this. They're still in it, you know, without a doubt.
Oh, no question.
Like you said, it's the race is on. I mean, this is not done by a long chalk, you know.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. That was must win for Arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, if Arsenal did not win, they're 8 points back. That was as must win as it gets. And Arsenal was able to win. We said it was going to be a dogfight going down all season. It was a dogfight. Let me hit you with some quick stats. So Liverpool got one shot on target all game. Arsenal won the XG battle. Three, Opta's got it 3.5, but say 3 to 0.5. Yeah, that ain't close. Even though Liverpool had more possession, Liverpool had 57% possession, but Arsenal had 54% of the possession in the final third. So Liverpool had a lot of the ball, but they had a lot of the ball in their own end. There were 6 big chances in the game. Arsenal had all 6. Touches in the box. Arsenal had 31 touches in Liverpool's box. Liverpool had 12 touches in Arsenal's box. You know, Liverpool had only been held under 20 touches in the box one time, and that was a game they played with 10 men and lost a player in the first half. So I think you've got to give credit for the way Arsenal set up and strategically and tactically played the match. Liverpool won possession in the final third one time all match. Yeah. What'd you say? Everton won it how many?
18 times.
Yeah. Liverpool won it once off of us.
Yeah. By that, Liverpool were more concerned about getting back to the pub than and finishing that game, Cal.
Well, they were having no joy trying to take it off of us, yeah. You know, because when they got close to us, we just booted it. Sure. We either booted it to another Arsenal player or we just booted it back to them and said, okay, we're all behind the ball. See what you can do with it. And they couldn't do much. Let me hit you with a few more. Arsenal has now won 2 of the last 4 matches against teams starting the day in first place. So Arteta, since Arteta's been manager, we've played the team that started the day in first place 4 times, and we've won 2 of those matches. Under Emery and Wenger, we did it 2 times in the previous 17. If you give Arteta time to set up for one match, he is really, really good. You know, on an important game in one match, he is really good. Arsenal are now unbeaten in our last 4 matches, Premier League matches against Liverpool. We have 2 wins and 2 draws. We have played Liverpool and Man City 3 times this year, and we got 7 points. We're unbeaten against those 3 teams. So while we have, we've talked a lot about Arsenal going to a more defensive mindset and setting up to be more defensive and have lost some of our offensive creativity, and we have. And that's probably hurt us in some matches against mid-table teams. But against teams at the top of the league, it's really helped us. My man of the match is Kai Havertz. Everybody is giving it to Jorginho. And Martinelli would be a good shout. But people just don't understand how important Kai Havertz was to the way that we played this game. He had 3 shots. 2 of them on target. That led our team. He was tied with Saka for most shots. He attempted the most tackles, and he was successful the most times. So how many times do you have a player who takes the most shots and also attempts the most tackles. Not much. He completed 81% of his passes, which was the best of any of our forwards. He had one XG, which was second to Saka, who had 1.2 XG. He had five progressive carries, which led the team along with Martinelli. And he drew all three of Liverpool's yellow cards, including getting Kanati sent off. Absolutely stellar performance. And so many people are going, well, your center forward scores a goal, he played good. Your center forward scores a didn't score a goal, he played bad. You know, that's not it. You know, the center forward has a lot more responsibility than just scoring goals. And Kai Havertz was an absolute monster out there on that field. And he gets my man of the match. Rick, any thoughts on that?
No, I think, you know, those numbers back it up. Havertz, a little surprising, I guess, till you delve into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
No, like you say, I think you deserve the win. I just think, you know, obviously Liverpool were not, they weren't at their best, but obviously, I mean, that's Captain Obvious. I'm stating that one there, you know, but, yeah, overall you deserve the win and cats amongst the pigeons again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. You know, it's a dogfight again, you know. Just grabbed Liverpool by the ankles and brought them back into the mud pit. So who does Tottenham play over the weekend?
We got Brighton. So
nice.
Yeah. Should be interesting.
They're coming off a big win, aren't they?
Yeah. They just beat Palace 4-1. Man, it's a big win, but big derby game for them. That Palace Brighton game is always a derby. I think they're sitting eighth. I think they got 35 points. I think in the last five games that we've played, it's been pretty even. I think Spurs have won three. They've won two. The last one was December, just before the new year. We lost that 4-2. It was a mad game.
Well, I would expect Brighton and Tottenham to be a mad game.
Yeah. Now, that last game, though, I mean, there was a lot of people missing. I mean, no Van de Ven, no Romero, no Madison, no Bissouma. So, you know, Bentancur. Although the flip side of that is Bissouma's just coming back. Bentancur's obviously not in form right now. So I think it'll be an interesting match. I know that we look at these in silos, right? Like at one game at a time. You know, that's how we look at games. And then again, I think that I forget, and other podcasts too, and other articles that I read, and Postecoglou keeps giving everybody a good reminder that we are building a team here. This is the year of building, and we've had a lot of players that are out, that are still out. We've got players that are trickling back, but as we can all see, they're nowhere near where they need to be yet. So I think it'll be another interesting game, you know.
Well,
especially after the Everton game, for the things that we spoke about earlier on in this podcast, corners, set pieces, crosses, getting that Vicario. What's that box going to look like? Are teams going to like flood that box and try and create as much chaos as possible? Yeah, probably. And for that reason alone, it's going to make things really interesting.
Well, and you know, De Zerbi against Postecoglou is going to make for some, you know, some fantastic viewing, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody, Brighton supporters, Tottenham supporters, and every other neutral are going to be watching, and other coaches are going to be watching to see how we handle the corners. Is this an ongoing thing?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the ball move because, you know, both managers love to move the ball fast, you know, and that to me, that's what's going to be interesting is watching how fast the ball moves from player to player to player to player, from team to team. And I expect it to be another six-goal match, and you know, be interested to see which team comes out ahead.
Yeah, I think it'll be a high-scoring match too. I do. Mm-hmm. Just on that. Mm-hmm. Who you guys got? Who do you have?
We are playing at West Ham. And, you know, it was, you know, last year we had the same arrangement. We played Liverpool, lost, you know, had a 2-0 lead, tied it up, then went to West Ham and also drew. And then that was kind of where our season kind of crashed down. You know, West Ham beat us at the Emirates this year. You know, they were, you know, probably the first team that really packed it in, parked the bus, and beat us on the counter. So they have been a bit of a bogey team. I mentioned how well Arteta's done against Liverpool lately and how well he's done against teams at the top of the table. He has not done so well against David Moyes. You know, I don't think we've beaten them in 3 years. Yeah. Maybe once in 3 years.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, we used to count on beating West Ham. I mean, anytime we saw West Ham on the schedule, that was 3 points, and it didn't matter where the match was. You know, when they first moved to the Olympic Stadium, you know, it was like, you know, it was like going into Carnegie Hall because, you know, we would score and make it so quiet that it was this huge place that was just deathly silent, you know. But that hasn't been the case for the last couple years. So all the good that we did by beating Liverpool can be undone if we lose to West Ham and then Man City and Liverpool win. We're right back where we were. You know, so again, it just sucks being in a league with Man City because it's every game is must win.
If things play out hopefully like they should, maybe we won't be in a league with Man City pretty soon.
Well, I hate to say this, but I kind of think it's funny that ironic that in a league that is ran by Manchester United and Liverpool, that it's Everton and Man City that is under the ire of the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
And then we play at Burnley and at Porto. So we've got 3 consecutive road matches. So we'll see. Be interesting to see if we play Kai Havertz up front again. Because, you know, if it's going to be a situation where Liverpool was parking the bus, maybe Kai Havertz's height at the back post for some soccer crosses could bring us some joy. As opposed to Gabriel Jesus, who's going to be quick, who's going to try to pull their center backs out of place, but the Liverpool center backs aren't going anywhere. You know, they're not going to man mark. He can run all over the place, and they're just going to watch him run. You know, they're going to play zone defense just like, you know, Jim Boeheim did at Syracuse. You know, I mean, speed. Stop
everybody there, Cal.
Yeah, where? I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Jim Boeheim, where's Syracuse?
That's right. But, you know, but so I would, if it was me, I'd put Kai Havertz up front again. I wouldn't mind seeing Smith Rowe at the left 8 spot. Because, again, he's good in small spaces and good at being last man into the box to finish a move. He's also good at picking up the trash, loose balls, hammering them home. And, you know, you might think about giving Trossard a start as well because he's a technical player if you're going to have all the ball. Martinelli's superpower is running in behind, and you may not get a ton of joy running in behind. So that's another thought. Rick, right. Anything to add?
No. Onward we go, man. Bring on the next week.
All right. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. Really appreciate you tuning in. We are not doing the Twitter thing anymore, but you can catch up on our website, which is Arsenal Fan thefantasypodcast.com. Rick has got an Instagram going.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram. Thank you to everybody that responded and commented on my last post last week. Really appreciate it. Keep them coming. That's I'm at Arsenal Tottenham Fan Podcast at Instagram. Check it out. There'll be a new post coming real soon.
Oh, and also we do have a YouTube channel. So we have been posting our podcast start. We kind of re-got it going last week. But we put last week's podcast on YouTube. This week's podcast will also go up on YouTube. You can look on there and see Rick's smiling face.
Yeah, go check out our ugly mugs. That's worth the entrance fee right there.
That's right. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. And come on, you Gunners.
Come on, you Spurs.